Ireland's approach to drugs has shifted across the decades towards harm reduction, treating addiction as a public health issue rather than a criminal one. But as drug-related violence and intimidation come more into focus, as more of us witness open drug dealing in our streets and drug usage, in fact, there are questions about whether that balance is right and whether compassion for addiction is coming at a cost to wider public safety. It's News Talk Daily, I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, our modern approach to drug harm reduction owes its roots to 1980s Liverpool. The Mersey model, as it's known, would go on to influence many of the approaches that you see across Europe right now. The model was introduced in the UK as a response to the worsening drug crisis that was seen in Liverpool. It introduced the first major syringe exchange service, which was seen at the time as this really radical new policy by Merseyside Police of not prosecuting people for possessing needles for exchange. And then you had the advocacy of these pioneers like Dr. John Marks, who prescribed pharmaceutical alternatives like methadone to stabilise users' lives and go on then to reduce crime. It changed everything. Liverpool went on to host the first international conference on the reduction of drug-related harm, which led to the founding of the organisation Harm Reduction International. Our guest, Dr. Chris Luke, was there from its inception, and he's seen all the highs and lows of harm reduction. But he says now that there is another side to this conversation that isn't getting the same attention and should. And that's the impact that all of this has had on other people, on wider society. From intimidation and antisocial behaviour in public spaces to more serious incidents linked to drug use, there's a growing focus on what's often described as third-party harm. And in some cases, we know from those news reports that harm is extreme and it's carried out by people in the grip of drug use or drug-related psychosis. But in other ways, it's way more commonplace. Parks vandalised, public spaces feeling unsafe, shoplifting, public disorder. So it's a time now for an alternative to a system built primarily around public health needs to put more weight on accountability and policing alongside it. Well, very shortly, we're going to be joined by the author of Chasing the Scream, a book that deals with this very topic, Johan Harry. But first, Dr. Chris Luke is a retired consultant in emergency medicine and a healthcare commentator, and he joins me now. Doctor, you're very welcome to the podcast, to News Talk Daily.
Thanks, Ciara.
You worked for decades in emergency medicine and emergency departments. I know you're not directly practicing anymore, but you're very much plugged into what's going on. And you've written this really interesting piece called Harm Reduction Drugs Policy. Compassion for some cannot become a risk to all. What's caused this reflection? What's prompted this?
Well, you know, as you recounted there, I've long been an enthusiast for harm reduction. I've worked in four major cities in these islands, starting in the city centre in Dublin with James's, and then moving to the inner city in Edinburgh, inner city in Liverpool, and then the inner city in Cork. And all four of these great cities had, you know, devastating drug problems. So it's been part of my daily workload for the best part of 40 years. And since retiring, I've been writing and lecturing and writing opinion pieces and so forth. And it seems to me that there is a growing, neglect of the policing issue. I mean, over the last 5 to 10 years, there has been a debate in this island, much of it driven by the example of the so-called Portuguese model, which has sought to balance the health harms of drug use with the greater needs of the state. And I suppose the net result of that has been this a national drugs policy since 2017, which has very significantly prioritised the harm reduction to the individual drug user, at the expense of a policing or criminological approach. And it has been said again and again and again that a public health approach rather than a policing or criminal approach is important. And that was, for example, set out in the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's foreword to the National Drug Strategy document in 2017. But, you know, as I've seen for many decades, and I continue to see, really there's been a very steady growth of pretty devastating drug use-related harm to the community and indeed to our environment. And even today in the news, there's been talk about open drug use, open drug dealing and antisocial behaviour on many parts of our public transport system. And, you know, this sort of antisocial behaviour, I suppose, is the most important part of drug misuse. But of course, you also get an increasing number of savage killings that have involved what one judge described recently as almost indescribable savagery.
And just to be clear for News Talk Daily listeners, when we talk about this harm reduction policy or this harm reduction approach, we're talking about treating drug users with compassion, what was seen as a very pragmatic approach to keep these people alive, to try and reduce the harm they're doing to themselves, rather than just throwing these people in prison, enforcing detox and hoping that turned their lives around.
Yeah. And I suppose my concern is that if you have two circles, and you're, let's go back to our sort of primary or early secondary school geometry, and we have the two circles with the intersection. Circle one is the drug user's life. And I'm all for methadone treatment or substitute treatment, which allows the user, rather like a diabetic taking insulin, to live a much more stable existence, to, you know, carry out their work or their family obligations, to lead, you know, a relatively stable life despite, you know, long-term addiction. And of course, I'm also in favour of, you know, safer injection facilities. I'm in favour of free needles and so on and so forth. And of course, absolutely treat the individual user with the utmost compassion and, you know, with this famous trauma-informed approach, because the vast majority of drug use that I've come across over many decades is driven by the sort of stress you find with significant poverty or mental health issues and so on. So, you know, I'm not saying that should be less important, but what I'm saying is that there's now this intersection with the other circle, which is the wider community. So we're seeing a growing intersection in terms of increasingly violent harm to others directly or threatening behaviour and so forth. Like, for example, I quoted a piece in my article about a poor elderly man who was beaten to death on one of our major teaching hospital wards by a young man next to him in a bed who was acutely deranged and delirious because of a considerable amount of benzodiazepine medication like Xanax that he had taken. And I also spotted this morning another case of somebody who was fairly well known, who had tried to rob a shop in the inner city in Dublin after taking a huge amount of benzodiazepines as well. And he was wielding a broken pint glass and he was covered in blood and so forth. So that's the kind of problem that I'm particularly concerned about, along with the burning down of brand new parks and chopping down of trees and the carrying on with the scramblers and the e-scooters, a lot of which is driven by people who are actively either dealing drugs or taking drugs and who are essentially, you know, antisocial behaviour is very much a consequence of drug use of all sorts, whether it's sort of a detachment from the reality or an overstimulation or a sort of tranquilization. And for example, with the benzodiazepines, you know, the Valium type family of drugs, you often get with massive doses, say, you know, young teenagers typically in the inner city who take, say, for example, 100 milligrams of Valium or its equivalent regularly, that often leads to what's called paradoxical excitation. So it's not like an ordinary person who occasionally takes 5 milligrams of Valium and falls asleep promptly, but you have people who are basically addicted to benzos and they often have these this extreme overexcitement, and in that sort of state they can often be violent or at least at the very least be very antisocial.
And what you seem to be suggesting here, Chris, is that the families who are impacted, the kids who are exposed to this, the communities that are affected by their parks being vandalised or their playground being burnt down or public spaces just feeling unsafe or not wanting to go on the Lewis because you might be exposed to drug use, or seeing open dealing, as I saw here near News Talk a couple of weeks ago, and open syringe use actually on a really busy street on the other side of the News Talk building only a couple of days ago, that is not being taken into consideration here. We're not seeing the impact of this harm reduction policy in terms of how it affects wider society, that the framing on just looking at the addict is unfair and it's nearly gone too far.
That's exactly my point, Ciara. My point is very much about the framing of the whole national drug strategy. And what I'm really asking for with that recent article is that we remember that there's the greater good in terms of the democracy that we live in, and that we have to consider the environment, the context of drug use. And obviously, if it affects nobody but the drug user, it's much easier to be, sympathetic and compassionate and so on. But when you have this growing epidemic of harm to others, and that is absolutely self-evident everywhere you go now, in the dark, the Lewis. I mean, I've come across heroin addicts on the Lewis in Talbot Street with needles and blood pouring out of their elbow, just slumped there. This should not be happening in our towns and cities. So I'm saying that very simply, for example, in the newspaper reports, in one report today, it reported that the shoplifter had taken a vast amount of drugs. In the other report earlier, it didn't mention that. And I'm saying that, for example, we need to highlight it from the court reports whether or not drugs have been involved, because otherwise, those who are debating the issue, they're doing so without adequate data. We need to get a much more honest and clear picture of the relationship between drug use and the harms to the wider community in terms of, for example, shoplifting, rampant antisocial behaviour on our streets and parks and public transport, as well as homicidal or sub-homicidal violence.
And I'm very conscious, Chris, that we are talking about Dublin examples here when I talk about what I'm seeing outside News Talk HQ, which is right in the city centre here in Dublin, or what we're seeing on the Lewis or indeed on the Dark. But this goes way beyond our capital city.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ciara. Yes, I mean, when I started work in the emergency department in St James's in Dublin 8 in 1983, that's 43 years ago, the problem was almost entirely confined to the D8 area and the D1 and D8 basically. Now, over the last, and then I went to Edinburgh and I went to Liverpool, and as the situation evolved in the UK, it was evolving here. So I remember distinctly seeing the first heroin users in Cork City in the early noughties, and then it spread from the city. They would come down in the train to shoplift, for example, and then gradually the problem metastasized to the towns like Youghal and Clonakilty and Bandon, and then gradually further progressed to the situation where I believe that you can get drugs by delivery, by app delivery, in virtually every single townland on the island of Ireland, and the only thing that's stopping the delivery is if perhaps it's so far out on a peninsula or headland that it's not worth their while. But otherwise, it is possible to get drugs of any sort within 20 odd minutes in almost every parish in the land.
So what, in your opinion then, Chris, would a more balanced approach look like in practice?
Well, what I'd like to see, as I said, is I'd like to see careful reporting from the courts to begin with, so that people understand how often extraordinary violence or random violence or unprovoked violence is related to the use of both alcohol, which of course is our traditional drug, but also now is consumed routinely with drugs of all sorts. And I'm talking about sleeping tablets, I'm talking about cocaine, I'm talking about occasionally cannabis-related psychosis and delirium and so on and so forth. But there's a wide variety of drugs I don't need to tell you. Because, we know all about alcohol and the Irish. We know all about alcohol and the Irish and sickness and absenteeism and fights and rows and marital breakdown. But There are certain myths, and one of the myths that we need to dispel is the idea that somehow when people take drugs, they don't take alcohol. The reality is that nowadays, the vast majority of recreational intoxication, put it that way, involves both drink and drugs of all sorts. So the first thing to do is to report it honestly and accurately as best as possible in the court reports or in the media, and then get our politicians and our representatives and very importantly, the members of the task forces in all the towns and cities of the land to contribute to this, to an honest and appropriately informed debate, a debate that's informed by a much better depiction of the drug-related picture on this island. Because hitherto, and particularly recently, it's been all about compassion and harm reduction for the individual user and stop criminalising them. Well, the problem with that argument, Kira, I have no interest, and I do not believe that the use of drugs by an individual should per se be criminalised. What I think should be criminalised and should remain criminal is violence towards others and violence towards the environment and so forth. So it's the behaviour that can be criminalised rather than the addiction or the misuse of drugs, which I completely accept is mostly a health issue.
You say there's a lack of political honesty about the scale of the problem here in the country.
Well, I think that follows from the lack of regular coverage. No, I come from a journalistic family, so I have a particular interest in all of this. And I've been watching the coverage of drug-related issues for decades, and I've been contributing to its coverage in the papers and so forth. But I'm beginning to see now where when there is violence and when there is, particularly horror stories coming from the courts, that we are beginning to see a breakdown in terms of, you have this generic commonness. He had substance abuse issues, my lord, and he's in a program. And we need to move from that to be a bit more specific to what types of drugs were involved. Even just naming it. You don't need to have necessary toxicology results or milligrams or anything like that. But just so that we begin to feed into the political debate, the which drugs are most associated with violence and antisocial behaviour, and so on and so forth. So that when we're discussing this in the Dáil or in the citizens' assemblies to which I contributed, that we know what we're talking about.
OK, let me bring in Johan Harry here. Johan, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily. Do you agree with what Chris Luke is saying?
I think he's saying so many really important things, and I hugely respect, Chris, your expertise and the tone in which you're communicating what you're saying. I think you're talking very responsibly. I slightly disagree with some of it. I slightly unpack that, but I have huge, huge respect for it. And you're absolutely right. Where harm reduction is interpreted wrongly, in my view, and obviously in yours, to mean just allowing unboundaried behaviour, that has to stop, right? The priority is obviously we live together and people can never be left to harm themselves or other people. When it's done right, and I don't think I'm saying anything you disagree with, Dr. Luke, but pick me up if I am. When it's done right, and I've seen this in so many places in the world, helping the addicted person also helps the community. I'm thinking a lot about Switzerland, for example. I'm a Swiss citizen as well as British, obviously, because my dad's from there. And Switzerland did this really interesting, made this interesting change. I was thinking about a lot as Dr. Luke was speaking. So in the late 80s, early 90s, they had a lot of chaotic street use of the kind that you're describing. And what they did was actually go much further into harm reduction than Ireland has done. So a woman called Ruth Dreyfuss, who became the first female president, totally amazing woman, she introduced what I think of as deep harm reduction. What you've got in Ireland is pretty superficial harm reduction. I'm in favour of it. I'm in favour of giving out needles. I obviously agree with Dr. Luke that that shouldn't be interpreted to mean you just let people harm other people. Obviously, that should never be the case. What you've got is what I think of as fairly superficial harm reduction. What they did in Switzerland was really deep harm reduction, the most important tools of which were housing. No one recovers from their addiction if they are homeless, right? And my friend Rob Banghart, who was homeless for many years, often says, you can't do homelessness sober. Everyone listening, all of us, mental health would become much worse if we were suddenly homeless, plunged into chaos. So huge program of housing, huge program of helping people get subsidized jobs. And for the people who wanted it, and it was not everyone, a prescription that they had to use in a confined and controlled environment to the heroin they were addicted to. And what happened in Switzerland, and there's lots of very good research that demonstrated this, was obviously things got better for the addicted person. I spent a lot of time with addicted people in Geneva whose lives were transformed once they got housing and work. And most of them who were prescribed heroin actually cut down their heroin use over time, almost everyone, even though there was no pressure to do that, because their lives were less chaotic and frightening and they didn't need to be anesthetized so much. But crucially, I'm thinking, the reason I'm thinking about this in relation to what Dr. Luke was saying is things got much better for the community. Street crime massively fell, prostitution massively fell, the kind of frightening scenes that you're describing massively fell. So the only area where I would, I don't even know if it's a disagreement, it might be, but it might not be, is the dreadful things that you are describing. I share your horror at them and your, in the best sense of the word, intolerance of them. We cannot tolerate that and should not tolerate that. I don't think those things are primarily happening because of harm reduction, although some of the ways aren't harm reduction. I'm perfectly willing to accept that some of the ways harm reduction is applied may be making that worse. Yes. And I think you sound like a very insightful person, and I'm very receptive to what you're saying. But I think the core of what's going on there is an addiction crisis. So, for example, when the case you wrote about, this absolutely sickening and horrific case of the guy who was in benzo withdrawal, who murdered an elderly man in the hospital, I don't see how we can attribute that to harm reduction. Those crimes are happening. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Las Vegas because I'm writing a book about it. There are many crimes like that in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas has literally no harm, almost no harm reduction. What's causing that is the underlying addiction crisis. And for that, we need to understand why people, and I know you agree with this and you have more expertise on this than me, so I'm not saying this is a point against you. We need to understand why people are becoming addicted. And you talked about that very movingly. It's often trauma, sexual abuse, all sorts of things, and deal with those underlying factors. That doesn't mean that
But I suppose there's a sense out there sometimes, Johan, that means absolving people of all accountability for their actions because of their drug use.
Yeah, I understand how it can seem like it to some people, but I've never seen, I've been to so many places that kind of apply harm reduction in the best ways, like Sao Paulo, Vancouver, and Switzerland. And that's not how it works. We all know that with the people we love in our lives, right? Loving a person doesn't mean you don't impose boundaries on them. That would be a crazy form of love, right? Like, we don't do that with our children. We don't say, I love you, so you can go run in the traffic if you want to, or you can go and punch another child in the face and it's fine. I think there's a mistaken equation, and it may well be that it's sometimes applied this way. I haven't seen it that way, but from the way Dr. Luke is describing it, it does sound like it may be in some ways applied that way in Ireland. There's a difference between not shaming and stigmatizing someone, which I think is really important, and not imposing any boundaries on behavior that harms other people. Boundaries are absolutely essential. Boundaries are a form of love, right? If you're hurting yourself and other people, it's the most loving thing to do is to help impose boundaries on you. But you also need to deal with the underlying driving factors that are causing this addiction in the first place. What
okay.
you're seeing is not a crisis of harm reduction. What you're seeing is a crisis of addiction. And we know the factors that cause addiction, and we can deal with them. And there are places that are dealing with them. And when they do, they don't see these problems on anything like the scale that you're talking about.
To go back to you, Chris, and to allow you to answer, I suppose, what Johan has been seeing, and indeed to go back to our own Citizens' Assembly in this country that looked at the issue of drug use, and the overall recommendation, certainly the direction there was pretty clear: move away completely from a criminal justice model, focus on this health-led model. And the problem in this country is, as Johan has seen, and indeed many other countries, our harm reduction model has just been superficial. We haven't really done it properly, and that's why it's gone wrong.
Yeah, well, you see, the problem I have with the argument about the what's called generically the trauma-informed approach to the addict, which is basically precisely dissecting the drivers of the addict's addiction, which is, as I say, sort of generically, I don't mean to be in any way glib, but it's poverty, it's mental health issues. You know, my grandmother started in the slums and the tenements of the north inner city, and I've spent most of my career in the inner city. I'm extremely well acquainted. I'm a passionate believer in social justice and fairness. And it's that which has driven me to say that in emergency departments, we have a system which many people have heard of, which is called triage. And triage basically is sorting out the most urgent issues and cases and conditions from the less urgent. And what I'm trying to get across is this. If somebody comes swinging at me with a knife or an axe, as happened, you know, in the reports recently, out of their head, that's not a time for a trauma-informed approach. The trauma that development, the other word for trauma is massive injury, and that's the kind of trauma you have to then deal with. So, in other words, in terms of triage, we must remember that as Peter McVeary, I don't know if Johannes heard of this gentleman, but he's he's sort of a living saint who's devoted his life to the inner city citizens. And he says, you know, we must remember we're now dealing with three generations of heroin addiction. And if you imagine how chaotic and erratic the parenting, the series of parenting has been in some people's lives. There's been no parenting. There's been brutality, chaos, negligence, starvation, and all the rest of it. That's really what we're dealing with. So I really, really understand what's driving the use of the drugs to numb, to tranquilize, to self-medicate. But what I'm saying is that there are two types of harm. There's the harm to the individual, which is what is overly emphasized, I'm saying, with the harm reduction. And then there's harm to the community, which I'm trying to say, right, that probably should weigh a bit more in the balance when we're discussing harm reduction.
All right, Dr. Chris Luke and Johan Harry, thanks so much for joining me here on News Talk Daily for what I hope our listeners found a pretty thought-provoking conversation. And do get in touch if you would like to comment on what we've been discussing today, and if you think the Irish approach to substance abuse needs to be readdressed, or if you agree with Johan Harry that actually the problem has been we haven't done harm reduction properly in this country at all. We'd love to hear from you. Newstalkdaily at newstalk.com is the email address, or you can find me on Instagram at officialkirad. Until tomorrow morning, goodbye.